So, what we'll do is we'll start, as you start a Māori gathering, with karakia, which means a prayer or a sort of a saying that you say together beforehand. So, Etu, stand up, and we'll just do that first. So what I'm going to do is to give you the Highlands Intermediate one. It's not just a Highlands thing, but being in a secular setup, we use a more or less secular thing that we say together. So I'll say that, and then when we get to the second part, I'll also explain it a bit, what it all means. But it's about, it's by our actions. Our actions speak louder than words. Anyway, here we go. Ki runga, ki raro, ki roto, ki waho. I nā te mahi, he tino rangatira. And now you're going to burst into song. So your beautiful singing voices will be recorded. Te aroha. So the words after me, just say back after me. Te aroha.
Te aroha.
Te whakapono.
Te whakapono.
Me te rangi Mārie.
Me te rangi Mārie.
Tātou tātou e.
Tātou tātou e.
Straight away, I'm sort of getting you to repeat things back to me, but it won't be all just verbal and like, oh, I can't remember what you said. It will be written here as well. So the first thing, just to describe that karakia at the start, which was ki runga, which means above. Ki raro, don't worry about writing this down, I'll write this down next week, okay? Ki runga above, ki raro below, on earth, ki roto within, ki waho without. I nā te mahi, by your works, or by what you do, by what's done, he tino rangatira, the real leader. In other words, the real leader, the real example, is the person who does the work, who actually puts into action what they're saying. So it's a sort of like a karakia is a general sort of a thing you say together before you go into a task. So if we go back to traditional Māori society, it would probably have been an incantation said by tohunga. You know, like a ritual prayer that you might say addressed to a god, the god of forest or the god of whatever, karakia in that sense. And so it sort of becomes like this is what we say before we do something. But of course, that translates very easily into a Christian religious context of let's open in prayer. So the word karakia now has a So the word karakia has now has this wider meaning, or alternative meanings almost of open in prayer, which of course fits very much within the Anglican liturgical sort of context of set prayers. That you can see how those two cultures actually matched up quite well between Anglican and Māori. So you can see how, with this, and here's this people, and, we have to say a ritual prayer first, or incantation, and it's like, oh, well, there, don't we do something like that too? And so, oh, here's the prayer instead of that. But also it brings up the fact that in the Māori world, there is no division between, like, the secular and the spiritual. You know, if you're in a Māori context, you might say something and it might be a neutral sort of thing like we just said, like I just said. Or it might be a specifically Christian prayer, which we're going to say in a moment once you hear the prayer book. Or it might be something that actually is still focused in that, you know, Māori pantheon. And so, of course, how people see those Māori gods or Māori departmental, you know, personifications of creation or whichever way you think of them, can you see there's quite an area of, oh, so how are we actually thinking of that? That's quite a challenge for, you know, to sort of get our heads around. So, I'll start writing here the words of that song before we get, and we'll get that prayer in a minute. So, here we go. Te aroha. Now, te, do you know how to spell for me te?
T-E.
T-E, good, okay. Te aroha.
A-R-O-A-H-A.
Yeah, aroha. So it's like aroha, aloha, meaning?
Love.
It means it has quite a wide, as things in Māori language tend to have, quite a wide sort of area of meaning. Love often involving kinship obligations. You know, there's a lot of space in that, but words in English have broad meanings too.
I mean, go as far as fellowship.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and then you realise, oh, but love means that in English too. So, yeah. So please be aware that always with translations, we're dealing with approximate areas of meaning, and the cultural context or the occasion will sort of give you the what you actually mean.
Is the
T. Yeah, it's the. It's
the. No, not the meaning, it's the pronunciation.
Oh, te. Te.
Te.
So let's. Yeah, a, e, o, u. So all normal languages in the world, Japanese, Spanish, German.
It's exactly the same as Dutch.
Dutch, a, e, e, o, u. The one that's a bit different is English. So we start very handicapped with that if our English is our first language. So te, a, ro, ha. Te, a, ro, ha. The hard thing is not to say te.
Yes.
Te. Because everything e. Oh, you mean like a? Like te? No, te. Te. Like saying the word ten and not saying the n. Te.
It's like
the
word that the kids use, me.
Yes.
Me.
Me.
Yeah. So te.
And like in phonetics, the e is an e.
Yeah, and so it's more that short. Much more that short e. Te. Te. Te aroha, te aroha. And the other thing here is that vowels tend to be run together in all Polynesian languages. Yeah. So te aroha, not rather than te aroha, te aroha. Yeah?
No emphasis on any one syllable.
No emphasis on anyone. Well spotted. So this technically means that, but English is a language where we wouldn't say the love. We'd just say, if we're talking about things, we'd just say love, joy, peace. We wouldn't say the love, the joy. So although you use it in Māori, you use it that way in German actually, you talk about die Liebe, not just Liebe. So different languages actually use the word the even at different times. So it's that whole thing of you can't just translate a language word for word.
Almost an introduction of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to come to more of that. That actually does mean, though, that. So, definite article if you do languages.
Jasmine, what was the word you used after when we were talking love, obligation?
It embraces fellowship,
friendship,
anything
friendship.
That's love related.
Yeah, kindness.
Yeah.
Aroha mai, please forgive me. You know, please show mercy, compassion to me.
It's very broad.
Yeah, it's quite broad. Te aroha, te whakapono. So, te whakapono, whakapono. Whakapono? This is on
A-K-A.
Right here.
A-K-A, P-U-N-A.
P-pono, pono.
P-O-N-O,
pono.
Te
whakapono?
It's not puno. No.
Te whakapono?
Pono, okay.
Te whakapono. And that is faith. But this word here, pono, is to do with truth, or true, or faithful. So it's a word that goes across areas of faith and truth. And Pono, so that's, you know, so it's related to the words like disciples, like a faithful follower. Te whakapono, whaka is a word, a bit that's put in front of a noun or an adjective to as a verb. And it means to make it, to cause it to be. So in other words, if I believe something, if I have faith in it, if I believe it, I am affirming it is true. If that makes sense, to make it true. I make it true because I believe in it. But you can see that, no, you would. It's so it's a verb. It's verbifying the word over there. So pono by itself isn't then the believe part. This word means to believe, and then it becomes like faith as a noun. Okay, te aroha te whakapono, me te rangi marie. Me te rangi marie, me te rangi marie. Rangi, me te rangi, rangi, marie, ma, ri, e. And of course straight away you have marie, so it's a ma. Marie. And straight away you have a problem as an English speaker. Because the most natural thing in the world when you see that would be to say, oh, you mean Marie?
Yeah.
No, so when missionaries were writing down phonetically, they have to go Marie. And of course it brings up the fact that English has ghastly rules of spelling.
Yeah.
And the lovely thing with Marie and languages like it, like Spanish, like Japanese, or like, you know, these are completely phonetic languages.
English must be a dreadful language to
learn. So, me te rangi marie. Rangi marie. And so this word is peace. And where the peace part is especially that part, marie. Because you get wai marie, and you get terms like ata marie and po marie, you know, have a good night or whatever. So it's the marie part especially, and rangi is to the day or... So, but it's more bordermen. Rangi marie, and in the liturgy that's used as, you know, the peace be with you. Rangi marie, kia tau te rangi marie. So, te aroha te whakapono, me te rangi marie. So, that's the and. And a bit of a technicality, it's used as and between nouns. So you can say, te whakapono, me te rangi marie, the faith and the peace. But you can't say you and I and go make that as three words. So it's an and that's quite specific. So this is this classic, you know, can't just do one word for one word. You've got to learn phrases and idioms and sentences. And that's a more of a problem the more you go away from one European language group to another Pacific language group or Asian language group, you know, the differences. Whereas so one-to-one, it works easier for me in German. I'm more likely to find a word that just goes, you know, you and I, and be able to do it one-for-one. But once I go out to other languages, types of languages, it's all up for grabs. So, and in this case, it means and. Okay, me te rangi marie. Tato tato e. So ta.
T-A.
Yeah, except when I say it, I don't say tato, I say tato.
Oh,
and so because it's longer,
yeah,
and this is this whole area of like putting little macrons on to lengthen out the sound, tato. And now we get to the next real problem area for us. Tato. So, listen to to. That's T-O. To, longer, with an acron. To, which is an O going into an U. Ta-to.
Yes.
To. Definitely. Now, that's actually how New Zealanders sometimes say to. Oh, yeah, because we actually...
T-A-U.
Yeah, well, no.
Just
on. Yeah. So, ta-to, T-O-U, sorry. Ta-to. Ta-to, ta-to. It can actually be spelled ta-tau, ta-tau, a-u, in some, you know, it varies a bit, the spelling and the
but the second a would be a short a.
Yeah, yeah. Ta-tau, ta-tau, and the a at the end, oh, sorry, that means we or us. tato is a really significant word in Māori. Really significant, because going back to the kinship relationships, when you say, we think this, and I'm saying to you and say, Jasmine, this is how we think, am I meaning that the we includes you, or is it we and you're over there, or is it we and I'm including you? In English, the word we doesn't tell you. And so in Māori, the establishing of relationship and who you're related to and all that in the ritual and the marae greeting and so on, there are two different words for we, as in us lot here, and we as in including you I'm speaking to. Right. And this is the inclusive one. So another way of saying that would be like all of us. Would that be another way of saying it? All of us?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we, us.
Good.
So what is this little song saying? It's saying trying to translate it to be like, may love, faith and peace be among us. All of us, or the things that unite us, or whatever. And this is regarded as a perfectly secular song. You know, because you can see the content there. Okay? Cool. That prayer, I'll say this prayer because I used this the other day as an example of, you know, how different a karakia can be. So that first one I used about above, below, etc., is, if you like, neutral in terms of its religious content, not really just a physical thing. E te atua, so this is a prayer before a meeting. E te atua tō mātou kaihanga. Ka tiahu te maramatanga me te ora, i au kupu kōrero. Ka tīmata au mahi, ka mau te tika me te aroha. Mea tia kia ū tonu, kia mātou, tō aroha i roto i tēnei huihuinga. Whakakī a mātou whakaro, a mātou mahi katoa, e tō wairua tapu. Āmine. And so you might have only understood in that.
Got two words.
Yeah, aroha,
work,
and mahi, and wairua tapu. Yeah, spirit holy, and amine. So, yeah, but that's an example where a karakia could be an actual prayer. And that's the one I used last night as a contrast to the first one. So, straight into, we promised you songs and, you know, waiata and greetings, mihi, and karakia, so we're really into it straight away, okay? And we want the content to be really like the Māori that you'll come across, or that you'll use, or that will be sung, and you'll go, oh, do I know it?
I would really like to learn the national anthem.
Yes, I'm
and
going
be able to
understand it,
yes,
and say it well,
and
sing it well. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely. That's where we're definitely going next week.
And it's
in other words, to look at the stuff that we actually already come across and are exposed to. Yep, great. So I guess the greeting is the first one. Yes. So could you say after me, order?
Order.
Order.
Order. OG and Māori.
Order.
Order.
So that R sound is sort of a slightly rolled R. Order. 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 Order.
Is it called an apical R?
I'm. He's your linguist.
I've forgotten my linguist.
So in Māori, there is no D and there is no L. There's only an R, but the R is halfway between a D and an L and an R. It's just a sort of touch of the tongue. But it's not rolled. It's not ora. No. It's just ora. Order. Think of bitty bits. Do you remember bitty bits?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, bitty bit is an English hearing of the Māori word piti piti.
Oh, sure.
So, does that make sense? Piti piti?
Yeah.
Because when you hear that, it's just a touch of the tongue.
Just a touch of the tongue.
Yeah,
on the roof of
order.
But not heavily.
Yeah. Order. Order.
Order.
So after me, order.
Order.
Order. Order. You're the advanced group here, okay? And the word before that, kia.
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 Okay, so kia ora. So kia, kia,
kia.
Ora.
Ora.
Ora. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia
ora. Kia ora. And it's again, it's all those vowels run together. So let's have a look at how we write that. Kia.
K-I-A.
K-I-A. And ora.
O-R-A.
O-R-A. Cool. Kia ora. And you can hear how, once you run together, you get more like the, oh, kia ora.
Yes.
Because you get this running together of all those vowels, kia ora. Yes. But at first you might just be thinking, kia ora.
Yes.
And you're doing really well just to get that far. And with time, you get the, oh, kia ora. You know? Yeah, well, so it sort of starts, kia ora. So, yeah, so kia ora.
Hello.
So, it's wishing. This word kia is what you get almost as a command. Be, or may it be. So, you have commands or encouragements like kia kaha, meaning like be strong, or kia toa, meaning be brave, or kia manawanui, meaning let's be strong-hearted or warm-hearted, big-hearted. So kia is like a be this or a may it be, like wishing or almost commanding, depends on the context. Ora is this beautiful word that means it's to do with life, health, vitality,
heart.
No, more just liveliness and well-being is another good. Well-being is really a good way. So you'll nearly always see the health organisation somewhere, like Ho Order, will have an order there somewhere. But it's a spectrum of being well all the way to being just being alive. So it doesn't just mean life, health, and well-being. It also means all the adjectives: healthy, well, alive. You know. So
the church at Pukekohe, it was Puna Te Ora. Was then it.
Yeah, and so order will always have that positive connotation, and you know it in the haka. So the haka, from which is Tarotraha on the. Running away or, you know, eluding people, his haka goes, ka mate, ka mate, ka ora, ka ora. And so these two words, mate, meaning die, or death, or sickness. So mate is death or sickness. So can you see that there are two different spectrums here, two ends of a spectrum? Yeah? Mate is when you're at the ailing, which means that if you continue to be sick, you will die. Or order means you are well, which means you will continue to live. So what's he saying on his little escape?
Yeah.
I die, I die. You thought I was dying. I live, you know, I've escaped. So it's like the, you know, got away again.
What's that second word?
So mate, death and sickness.
Sickness.
So it's a whole spectrum of meaning. Mate meaning to become sick or to die. So kia ora is the opposite. So you can see it's not just a hello, how are you, or there you are. Mm. It's actually a very positive, almost like someone said, listen, like a blessing.
Yes.
Oh, kia ora. Yeah. And so it's also used as an encouragement. If someone says, you know, does something, you say, oh, kia ora, meaning good on you.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So if you can see now it's used as a sort of general encouragement. You know, oh, may you be healthy and, you know, like, that's the way.
I've always thought of it as a greeting. Mm. But I have heard it at the end of a gathering too.
Yeah, yeah.
It just means,
Everyone, you know, blessings on all of us, if you like, or health to all of us, you know. Your health.
Yesterday I noticed it at the very end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, if you're in a meeting and people are saying things you agree with.
Oh, kia ora,
from all over.
Yes, so that agreement thing, you know, and so you're saying, oh, bless you, you know, like, yeah, absolutely, you know. So there's quite a wide range of use for kia ora, as well as the greeting.
Yes.
It's not only, but that's the main, we're beginning place, if you like.
Yes.
And of course, the other thing is that uses of language evolve too. So that, you know, that in an emerging culture, you go, the good thing to say there would be, oh, kia ora, meaning, which doesn't then translate easily to your English phrase, which might mean good on you, you know, or something, you know. Anyway, the word for word stuff, as I said, doesn't usually be. So, that's our greeting, first greeting. So, mihi, as they're called, greetings. So, and also the other two things we covered here so let's see if you can cope with these, is just amongst this group here, for me to ask your name. Now, when I first do this, I want to do it just as a listening thing and a speaking thing, but don't panic, I will write it up too. But just try to get the listening first. Sometimes if you write stuff up first, you would know this, unfortunately you start reading it as English too much first before you hear, but we're going to do both. We're not going to leave you like, what did you say? I can't remember. So it's asking, ko wai tō ingoa. Ko wai tō ingoa. Wind would say, oh, ko wind aho. Ko wind aho. Ko wai tō ingoa. Ko anet aho. Aho. Ko wai tō ingoa. Ko jasmine aho. Okay, so let's just try those words. Don't worry about the question, saying the question, just the response at this stage. Ko. Say it after me. Ko.
Ko.
Ko. Ko, and then obviously a name. And then this word at the end. Aho. Aho. Aho.
Aho.
Ko po aho. Ko wai tō ingoa? Ko lin aho. Ko wai, we'll give you the question first. Ko wai tō ingoa?
Ko jenny aho.
Kia ora. Yeah, okay, so let's have a look at this. We're going to actually write up the words here. So ko, I'm going to leave a space for the question, but that's just going to be that, isn't it?
No.
Ko, ko, that's that first word. Now that's the word that means nothing. You mentioned before about, oh, it just introduces it. Te actually means da, but this word means nothing. It doesn't have any meaning. But it's a word used at the start of a sentence to introduce what's going to be at the start of the sentence. Now you think, what a strange thing to have in a language. I can assure you that many languages have this, and a really good example is Japanese. So when you say, I am a New Zealander in Japanese, you say watashi, which means I, and you say nyujirandojin, which is New Zealander, and you say desu, which is am. But in between they say, watashi wa nyujirandojin desu. And the wa means talking about me. As for me, I am a New Zealander. So it's like pointing out before you get there that this is going to be what's introducing the sentence. And without it, in Māori, the sentence just isn't right. So there is no meaning attached to this beautiful syllable. But it's what you have to do to make that construction. There are things called particles. And they exist not a lot in English, but they certainly exist in many languages. And I've just given the example of Japanese. You do get them in European languages as well. You know, little throwaway words put in that sometimes they mean, but actually in this context, it just means I'm putting in as a filler.
And we always felt in Japanese that they were put there to annoy us.
Yeah, but it's partly talking about because if you put a different word instead of wa, if you say ga, it is a stronger meaning, saying like, oh, but me on the other hand. So, you know, they have these sort of functions about how important what you're saying is. You're wanting the person to focus on the thing that comes next. So, then your name, of course, which in my case, sometimes once I start speaking a little bit of Māori, I might call myself Paora, because that's what Paul gets changed to. But of course you can put,
put your flower.
Flower, yeah, so jasmine is a flower. So aho. So this other word, aho. So aho. Ho. Now, so this is where it gets tricky with the O's and O's.
O.
So a, aho. So when you get two vowels in Māori, like a, u, then when you run them together, you get the combinations, the diphthongs. So, ho, o, o, aho, aho, ho, 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 ho. Yeah, which is by itself is breath, but here's aho, which is me. Me, 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 me. I, me. Now, that's me. In Māori, there is no word for am, or is, or are, the verb to be. does not exist in Māori, and there are many other languages where it doesn't exist either, because it doesn't actually mean anything.
That's true.
If I say I New Zealander, it still says I New Zealander. You still know what I'm saying. So we get used to things in our mother tongue. Ko paora aho. Ko waito ingoa?
Ko enet aho.
Ko waito ingoa?
Ko enet aho.
Ko waito ingoa?
Ko puti puti aho.
Kia ora, kia ora. We've got a puti puti here. So, let me write for you the question. We're not going to insist you say it at this stage, but you recognise. So, ko, wai, wai is in Waikato, wai. So, it sounds like our I, but as soon as I say wai,
what is your name?
Oh,
why?
This is
the
question.
So, this is the who. This is the who. Okay. And that word actually means who. Because I'm asking who you are. But then they don't actually ask who you are, they ask. We ask, ko wai tō ingoa, tō, a little bit longer, tō, not tō, but tō, ko wai tō ingoa, ingoa, I, how about I?
I know,
I. Ingoa. So there's no, you know how you get winger and finger, there's no ing, it's just na, just an ng. Ko wai tō ingoa. So don't worry about saying that at this stage, but we're just recognising it as a question which we can respond to. Ko wai tō ingoa.
But is it asking what is your name?
So yeah, so yeah, so this is the word that means name. That's the word that means name, that word means. So in Māori, what you're asking is who, as in who are you, as in who, your name. Now, the Māori word for you is koe, and we're going to use that in a minute too. But here's the interesting part. This is typical of language learning. You can't say ko wai koe, who are you? Because, even in English that sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? We would say what is your name, rather than who are you? But especially if you think in English, we have this phrase that means who are you? As in, who are you to come in and do this? Who? What right do you have? So in Māori, when you say ko wai koe, it actually means who do you think you are? And there'll usually be another part of the sentence. Ko wai koe ki te, who are you to do this? So that is not how you ask someone's name. You don't say ko wai koe, you say ko wai toi.
It doesn't rely on tone of voice.
No, no. That, in other words, you're almost expecting something to come after that. Ko wai toi. The other thing we need to point out here is we've stepped outside of Māori culture to have this as the first question. So whereas in Pākehā culture, we might just politely say, oh, and hello, I'd like to introduce myself, my name is this, what is your name? That's a normal cultural thing. In Māori, it's not. Māori would be much more first establishing, what are your tribal connections, where are you from, who's your family? And then at the end of all that, oh, and your name is, after you've got all the connections. Making sense? You can see how that just is a totally different culture. So we've actually gone outside the culture to introduce that first. Gone a bit bicultural here. So the other thing we did last night, we did that in week one, and you've stepped into week one and two together here, you're doing well, is where are you from? So where are you from? Nor here koe. So nor, as in where you're from, and koe, like you. And so instead of ko lin aho, it's where you're from. So that word no. No here koe? Oh, no Scotland aho. No Finnexty aho. Uh-huh. No here koe? No.
Yeah, Scotland.
No, you also, as you were born there?
No.
Oh, as an R. So yeah, so now the problem is, how do you say, as a Pākehā, how do you think of where you're from? Because it might be where you grew up, it might be where you're born, it might be which tribe you're connected to, you know, so it's actually difficult to get around that meaning. So just roll with that, whatever you want to get, where you think of yourself as from, yeah? No here koe? No?
No
Nor Auckland. Because it's like yourself when you're responding, okay? Nor Auckland, aho, okay? So, nor here koe, and let's answer all as if we're all in it. Nor Auckland, aho. Nor Auckland, aho. Okay, cool. Nor here koe.
Only I've watched the weather a bit more.
No, it's all right. You can use a Pākehā name. It's fine.
Christchurch.
Or Tauratahi. So just say in the meantime, nor Christchurch, aho. Because, yes, it has a Māori name, but of course it has a Pākehā name. Yeah. And the whole city was built, that particular bit's built by Pākehā, but it has a Māori place as well. So that's okay. Oh. You know, New Plymouth is a city, a Pākehā city, has been built on a place called Ngāmotu. Yeah, so both apply. Yeah? So nor Christchurch aho. So we'll say nor here koe. Let's all be pretend we're Jenny. Nor here koe. Nor Christchurch aho. Okay. Nor here koe.
The meeting that koe.
Aho aho. Okay. Nor here koe. Let's all be linked together. Nor here koe. Nor Dunedin aho. Okay. So that. By the way, with a 2-year-old, it does take a while to get that you, me, I difference when you're speaking to them, because to work out that there are. So let's have a look at that. Nor here koe. Nor, as in nor, not nor, but nor, which means from. From. Nor here, here. Here, nor here, nor here. So every vowel is actually pronounced. Nor here, koe, 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 e. Nor here, koe.
So from you,
from here, yeah,
from you, where,
from where you. Yeah, from where you. From where you. Oops. Where are you from, in other words? And you're simply saying, I'm from such and such a place. Nor. Tamaki Makaurau?
Yeah,
we had that. Tamaki Makaurau, I said this last night, it's a beautiful place. Now, Tamaki is an object of strife and contention and warfare. Makau is a lover, and Ro is 100 or 1,000. In other words, a place fought over by many people who desired it. And that's exactly the history of Auckland. Fought over hugely between different iwi to gain control of Tamaki Makaurau. Which brings up a couple of pronunciation things of place names. So are you okay here? Which bit are you wanting here? Call nor here koe, where are you from?
Yes.
Nor, whereabouts you? Nor here koe, nor?
Ngāmotu.
Ngāmotu, okay, so, nor New Plymouth, aho. Yeah, okay, so now we get to the, and obviously this is going to be another huge area of, where do we come across Māori all the time, place names and so on. Now, here's the argument. I mean, because there is actually an argument to be had here. If I'm speaking English and I say Taranaki, why can't I say Taranaki? Because I'm now speaking English and I'm using a word from the Māori language over here. I've made it an English word. It's the area I live in. What's wrong with me saying Taranaki? And of course, you're absolutely right. You do the same with all languages, don't you? Berlin, you know, Köln, you don't say Berlin. Or Hamburg, you know, instead of Hamburg, you just translate it into an English phrase. So, at one level, that's absolutely right, and that happens with all languages. But why, the given question is, why might you want to say it that way? And so you might, if you knew some of the language, if I know German, I would say the name properly because I know that, and I know that's how it's meant to be said. Of course, if I didn't say that properly, and a German person happens to be listening, or someone who knows German, who's been to Hamburg, they will go, oh, you know the place, you know. And straight away, what happens is when you pronounce that more, how that person says it, you're identifying a little bit with their culture, with their place, where they're from, and you open up a dialogue. And that can be something as simple. I remember meeting someone from Uganda, and I said, don't know much about Uganda, but I know the capital city is Kampala. And they went, you know that? And they were amazed.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. They said, I've been all around New Zealand. I've never met anybody who knew what the capital city of my country was. And I went, I thought, that was just one fact. And the connection of you can be bothered to learn that and try that? Oh, thank you. So I think that's where we need to be coming from, rather than I've always learned to say it this way. Well, that's fine if we grew up with that. That's fine, what we grew up with. But it's like, oh, okay, it's sort of in the marketplace now, and it's actually a thing now to say that. And if we can, then let's do that. That's really more where I'm coming from with it. Okay, so, and our big problem with this word is that it gets at our favourite New Zealand English vowel, which is the A, Taranaki. And English is a weird language that it even has that vowel in it. A. Very few languages have that sound. A. They have A. You know, Japanese, German, go back to Spanish, all those languages we're talking about before, Polish languages always have an A sound, but an A sound is quite unusual in languages. So again, we work with a disadvantage if we start from English. So, after me, Taranaki. Taranaki. Taranaki.
Taranaki.
And this is a peak, as in a pyramid shape. And this is to do with shining. Which, of course, it does, especially when it's got snow on it. Sometimes known as puke o nake, which is
hill.
A hill. Puke is like hill. Maunga is another word for mountain or hill. Puke haupapa, sometimes called, and haupapa is to do with frost. Put a frost on that hill. So different names, but Taranaki.
A restaurant, Shining Peak.
That's the meaning. Taranaki. And you can hear that R sound, that Tara, Tara. Not Tara, or Tara, but Tara. Tara. Halfway between, isn't it?
We had this conversation with a Japanese voice.
Oh, yes.
Because they go slightly to the L.
You know, the old racist thing of flied lice. So in Japanese, the R becomes slightly more like an L.
You do the same thing with your tongue every time.
L and D and R. So what we're talking about in Māori is a language where the L and the D and the R all end up in one sound. In Japanese, the L and the R end up as one sound, and the D is still separate, like Honda. Yeah. So, and of course, lots of connections between Japanese and Māori, because Japanese is a Pacific language, as well as an Asian one. So it's not just an Asian language, it's Asian and Pacific. Anyway, Taranaki, and this place we're on from, that you want to know that you're from, is Ngāmotu. So say after me, Motu.
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 Motu. Okay, and then nga.
Nga.
Nga. So that nga might block your nose a bit. And so instead of nga, it's like winger, but just without the w.
Yeah.
So winga, nga, 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 motu. Nga. Yeah, blocking your nose. Nga, 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 motu. After me, nga, motu.
Nga,
motu. Here we go. Nga. Motu. And it literally means
island.
That's an island. So it's Nga.
Doesn't
that
just that pluralized?
Yeah, so it's the plural. So before te was the word for the singular. And you go, oh, how silly having different words, but you know French and German and all those languages have different words for the, depending on whether it's singular or plural. So English has become like a standardised German language with only the, one version of the. So it means that it actually is the plural, so it's the island, and that brings up the fact that most Māori nouns are the same singular and plural. So Ngā Motu is the islands. So how would I say the island, one island?
Te Motu.
Te Motu. Te Motu. So that's the islands. So I should just put that as the islands. And this is the island. And Te Motu is sometimes used as an expression by Māori, meaning the whole country. Oh, all around the Motu. All around Te Motu. So they're meaning New Zealand. You think, well, it's more than one island, is it? Yeah, but they're thinking of it as sort of an island. Okay, Te Motu. And you, if you look at the Hauraki Gulf map, some of the islands have names like Motu Tapu. And you go, ah, it's an island. And yes. Nipumas is called the islands because? Why? Why is Nipumas called Ngā Motu? Because this was islands. When you go out there, there's islands. Sugar Island, what we call Sugar Island Islands, Ngā Motu. Yeah, and I think they even have them. Actual Māori names are Motu. Well, we have Moturoa, don't we?
Yes.
Which means a long island. You know, and you might have other names. Forget the names of the other ones. Sometimes you have islands called Motuiti, which is a small island. And Motunui, which is where Motunui is, which is a big island. And, you know, yeah. So all these Motu things. Ngā Motu, as we were from.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is why the recordings are on the website that you can listen to. Yeah. Okay, well done.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to... we actually did more explaining in between two. So that's good, because that will be available to everyone. Okay, from both the lessons.
That's how I learn best.
Yeah. So we'll do that repeating that we're doing, where I say it, you say it after me. And look, it's a process. Just like when you were learning English when you were 2 years old, you do so many repeatings back to your mum and dad until the words that you say sound enough like the words they say that you can actually understand each other. It takes years. But you just do it by copying, trying to shape your mouth.
I find the word Māori even hard to say.
Māori. Because Māori. So let's just put that in there as well. Which, by the way, Māori means just an ordinary thing. A normal person is a Māori. It's like one of us, like people around here. Māori. Normal. So it doesn't mean, dark skin, because it just means...
I'm just wishing
that
we're all New Zealanders.
Yeah, yeah.
So every language has that.
Yes. In so, Māori. 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 Māori.
Māori.
Māori. Yeah, and of course the other thing you're doing here is that your mouth is having to make different movements because it's so used to speaking English and your mouth is relaxed. And you just speak it in your mouth if you're a New Zealander, and you just—it's very—you will feel that your mouth is doing more work, and that's the nature of the language. Let's stand and sing our song to finish off. Finish off, and then you can all go away and do 10 hours homework. But seriously, we'll put the thing up on the website. And I'll write that there so that when we take a picture of the board, the audio recording will be on the website, together with a picture of the whiteboard. So you can have your little notebook, or you can just take a picture, or you can just look at the picture on the website. You can choose as you go. There we go. Kia ora koutou. Well done, all of you.